What a wonderful time to sing of the greatness of God. The Bible says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised from the rising of the sun to its setting. His name alone is to be praised.
Amen.
While you are not here by chance today, God has brought you here for a purpose, and I pray that you open your heart to the Holy Spirit to speak to you and lift up your heart in a special way and give you some hope of what is lying ahead for you and for me. Well, when Britain's Queen Elizabeth was a child, her parents held a garden party at Buckingham Palace. I had the privilege of visiting there in 96. But a rainstorm forced the party to move indoors. Elizabeth and her younger sister wandered into the room where the guests had gathered and were politely bombarded by questions. During a pause in the conversations, Elizabeth pointed toward a nearby wall and a painting of Jesus on the cross. Then she remarked, "That's the man my papa says is really king." How right she was to recognize that the Savior who died for us now reigns over us as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Having risen from the dead, his kingship will be universally acknowledged as every knee bows to him, either by grateful choice or by irresistible force. What the Christian poet Hess writes, God kept his promise of the Savior's birth. That wondrous night when Jesus came to earth, and still today, the prophet's message rings. He will come again to reign as King of Kings. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at this blessed hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is so eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth. In order to do what? In order to transform genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the beautiful one, the blessed one, the beginning, the bridegroom, and the builder of the church. And to do what? And to turn unbelievers from their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine personal faith in Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer of sinners and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So here is our message in a nutshell. I humbly implore you to pay very close, careful attention to it with an open heart and an open mind, willing to do what? Willing to receive it and respond to it. So here is the message for us this blessed hour. In a nutshell, God is in control of human history and will surely bring it to an end exactly as he has predicted in his word, with Jesus reigning supremely over all and for all eternity. I repeat, God is in control of human history and will surely bring it to an end exactly as he has predicted in his word, with Jesus Christ reigning supremely as King over all and for all eternity. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, how many of you know that you are in the family of God? Only a few of you. Well, I hope at the end of this message, you know that you are part of the family of God. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are in the family of God. Well, the Bible is going to vividly and visually demonstrate to us today that Almighty God is indeed in control of human history here on earth, and will assuredly bring about its consummation exactly as he has prophesied, as he has planned, purposed, promised, and predicted in the Holy Bible. In fact, nowhere is this biblical assertion and announcement graphically and gloriously depicted than in the last book of the Bible, that is Revelation, especially in Revelation chapter 11. There, the Queen Elizabeth was as a child, "That's the man my papa says is really king, will be forcefully, freshly, fully, and faithfully set before us today for those who have ears to hear and who have hearts to hear it." So please, if you have your Bibles today, quickly turn them to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 to 18. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study, our gospel story today, from Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 to 18, from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, Then the seventh... You okay? "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, O Lord God the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power.'" We just sang about the greatness of God. You have taken your great power and have begun to reign. "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bond servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, today we are going to see a passage that is so difficult. It has been said that Revelation chapter 11 is at one and the same time the most difficult and the most important chapter in the whole apocalypse, that is the whole book of Revelation. Its difficulty is obvious, but I will not spend time to talk about that today in my message. Its importance lies in the fact that it contains a deliberate summary of the rest of the book. If you know Revelation chapter 11, you get all the summary of the rest of the book. That is from chapter 12 to 22. Revelation chapter 11, especially from verse 15 to 18, gives you that summary. In fact, it brings us in God's program as far as chapter 21, where eternity begins. If you take up the book of Revelation chapter 21, you are entering into eternity. And this passage takes us all the way to that point. You see, John has taken and has eaten the little book out of the angel's hand. In chapter 10, at the end of chapter 10, John is seen taking a little book from the angel's hand and then eating that book. And because of that, he has taken into his heart and his mind the message of God that will be released for the rest of the book. Now he sets it down, not yet in detail, but in broad lines of his development. So certain is the course of John, so certain is John of the course of the events, that from Revelation chapter 11 verse 11, he alters the tense of the narrative and speaks of things still in the future as if they were already past. So if you are reading Revelation chapter 11, you see that everything begins with the present tense or the future tense. But once you come to verse 11, everything changed to the past. But he's speaking of future things. But he spoke of them as if they already had come to pass. Actually, the Lord Jesus himself did something like this. In his high priestly prayer in the upper room, Jesus was praying to the Father, and he said something unique. Before he ever died, he told the Father, "I finished the work." In John chapter 17 verse 4, Jesus said in his prayer, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." Now, Jesus hadn't yet died on the cross, but he said, "I glorified you. I've accomplished the work you have given me to do." You see, what we have here is John's confidence. John speaks, although half of the book of Revelation is yet to be told, half of the story is yet to be told, chapter 12 to 22 is yet to be told, John speaks of them in the Holy Spirit in Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 to 18 as if they already happened. What confidence, what conviction of heart, and what certainty John speaks of as he shows us the divine teaching that God is in control of human history and will assuredly bring it to a close as he has predicted in his word, with Jesus Christ reigning over all and for all eternity as King. So now, if you are ready, will you please allow me to present the spiritual lessons? We have four spiritual lessons I want to set before you before our time is done, so that we will live here nourished spiritually. You are going to be nourished physically soon, but before you go, I want you to be nourished spiritually, because that is what will last for eternity. The food will not last for eternity, but your spirit nourished today will last you for eternity. So I'll present our gospel story in a simple step-by-step manner so that each one of us here can understand and receive what the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon our hearts. So if you are ready, let's begin. First of all, we begin with the Holy Spirit's teaching emphasizing the reign of the triumphant Christ in verse 15. Please make no mistake about this. The triumphant Christ will indeed reign supremely and triumphantly as King over all and for all eternity. The Bible leaves no doubt about the reign and rule of Jesus Christ as King. In fact, it announces it with what? Great confidence, conviction, and certainty. Please listen. The blowing of the seventh trumpet reveals that the great tribulation is over and the reign of Christ the King has begun. This is the picture the Bible vividly presents to us as the scene now shifts from the walls on earth to worship in heaven. Now, if you read Revelation, you see that the saints will be going back and forth from heaven to earth. Well, now the scene is shifting from earth, the walls on earth, to worship in heaven. Will you please notice how the Bible confidently announces the reign of the triumphant Christ in verse 15? The Bible says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying what? The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever." Now, as you all know very well, Revelation is a book of symbols. The most obvious symbol in the book of Revelation is the number 7. We have the 7 churches. We have the 7 stars. We have the 7 eyes. The 7 spirits of God. The 7 seals. The 7 trumpets. The 7 bowls. So you see a lot of 7. 7 stands for completeness or perfection. It is God's number. If you want a number that is of God, it's number 7. The 7th trumpet sounded, and in heaven, the Bible tells us, loud voices proclaim what? The final triumph of God and Christ over the world. The voices in heaven celebrate a day still future when God and his Christ had taken over and begun to rule unhindered. Several times in Revelation, we see those who are around the throne of God, including the 4 living creatures, the 24 elders, the angels, the myriads upon myriads of heavenly hosts, speaking and singing with loud voices. Now, we just sang, where's my hymn? We just sang a song that says, "All the earth will shout praises." Well, there is more to happen before the throne of God. Let me show you one example of where there was praise to God with loud voices. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 11, the Bible says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" I mean, at the throne of God, nothing is really quiet. What's the point? Well, here's the point. When you are before the throne of God in glory, you will not be so reserved and lackadaisical in your worship of God. You will give him all you have. You will worship him with all your being. You will hold nothing back when you are before the throne of God in glory. Amen. The Bible says, "At the sounding of the 7th trumpet, loud voices in heaven announce the day when the world's kingdom has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ." That is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King. The 7th trumpet is moving toward, or moving along step by step, toward eternity. Toward eternity. You see, the 7th trumpet includes the 7 bowls, the 7 final bowl judgments. After that trumpet was sounded, then the first bowl was poured out, and then to the end. And the wrath of God is finished, and his program on earth is brought to completion. So, you see, the 7th trumpet includes, as I said, the 7 bowl final judgments vividly depicted in Revelation chapter 16. And all the events leading to the establishment of the millennial kingdom, that is the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. Also stated in chapter 20, and the crowning of Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in chapter 19. So the King's arrival has been announced. There is now no turning back. Human history is now on the verge of coming to its completion.
Amen.
Where will you stand when that end comes? Where will I stand when that end comes? Is a question you need to be asking yourself, and I need to be asking myself. Now, please, will you notice that the Bible says the kingdom of the world has become. It didn't say the kingdoms of the world. Why is that important? You see, despite its many political and cultural divisions, the Bible views the world spiritually as one kingdom with one ruler. And who is that ruler? It is not the president of the United States. It is Satan. The Bible says Jesus himself 3 times in John spoke of Satan as the ruler of the world. In John chapter 12 verse 31, chapter 14 verse 30, and chapter 16 verse 11, he says the ruler of the world, pointing to the devil. Following Satan's lead, the human rulers of this world are generally hostile to Christ and his cause. But may I say to us today that long and loathing rebellion of the kingdom of the world, headed by the devil, will assuredly end with the triumphant return of Jesus Christ to defeat his enemies and establish his kingdom, his messianic kingdom. And this kingdom, the Bible tells us, involves the millennial kingdom, that is 1,000 years of reign on earth, and is blending into the eternal kingdom. So after the 1,000-year reign, what happens is that we enter into eternity, where we will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Now, it is important to understand that the kingdom is not ushered in gradually, but rather swiftly and suddenly, when the Lord Jesus comes back with his saints. Furthermore, we are clearly taught that this kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ does not depend on, is not established by your efforts and my efforts. Oh yes, God wants to use me to advance his kingdom, but God is not dependent on me to establish his kingdom. If he's dependent on me to establish his kingdom, it's probably never going to happen. And he's not dependent on you as well. So the picture given to us here suggests a transfer of the world empire, once dominated by a usurping power, that is the devil, and now at length it has been passed into the hands of its true owner, that is the triumphant King Jesus the Lord. That is why the Bible says at the end of verse 15, and he will reign forever and ever. He, referring to Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the triumphant King. So the word translated reign also means to be king, to rule, to have what? Predominance, to obtain royal power. Please listen. All the royal power of all the kings of the earth and all the queens of the earth will pale in comparison to the royal power that will be put on display when Jesus, the triumphant King, rules over all for all eternity. I tell you, friends, the reign and rule of the triumphant King is one the world has never seen. It will be a reign in which he has absolute and supreme predominance over all for all eternity, simply because his realm covers everything that lies in heaven and here on earth. No one, not even those who deny his existence, can be free of his rule, of his reign, or of his royal power. They will have to bow to him one way or the other. So the question to you and to me is, have you truly and trustingly acknowledged Jesus as the King of your life? If not, why not? Are you known as a person who chooses daily to surrender and submit to the loving authority of King Jesus over your life? Or are you known as your own boss? Are you living your life as your own boss, as your own king? A lot of people are living as their own bosses and their own kings and queens. But if you truly understand what the Bible is telling us here, your life will have to be given to Jesus to be the king of your life and the king of my life. While having emphasized the reign of the triumphant Christ, the Bible now brings us to the point of examining the reverence shown to the triumphant Christ in verses 16 to 17. We are going to see two contrasting responses to the Bible's bold and blessed announcement of the reign of the triumphant Christ. The first response is the reverence shown by the 24 elders. You see, in view of the triumph of the world's kingdom becoming the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, the Bible tells us the 24 elders break out in reverent worship of the Lord and the Almighty God. Will you please listen carefully and learn afresh from their reverent worship of the triumphant King? The Bible says in verse 16 to 17, and the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, O Lord God the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." What a great outburst of reverent praise that is being given to the triumphant Christ and God the Father. Please notice that the 24 elders refer to themselves only once. They say, "We." That was the only thing they said about themselves. What is the point? Well, the point here is that true praise is all focused on God, not on us. When you are praising God, you are not talking so much about yourself. You exalt the attributes of God, as the 24 elders did here. "We give thanks to you, O Lord God the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." Now someone says, who are the 24 elders? Are they the 12 sons of Jacob of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New Testament? 12 plus 12 is 24. Is that describing the 24 elders? Well, the simple and short answer I can give you today is that the 24 elders represent the whole company of believers in heaven, or an exalted angelic order worshiping and serving God there. Now the question is, how did they show reverence to God on that from our passage? Well, the Bible tells us, first of all, they fell on their faces. In other words, they prostrated themselves before God. That is the true posture of a humble heart before a holy God. They prostrated themselves before God. When was the last time you prostrated yourself before God with a humble heart, demonstrating your reverence to God? When was the last time? Well, second, the Bible says they showed reverence by worshiping God. Now, please listen. Their worship of God was passionate and purposeful. It was not pitiful and pathetic. The word for worship, proskuneo, also means to kiss like a dog licking the hand of his master. I mean, many of you have dogs. If you treat your dog well, the dog will come to you and lick your hands. What a wonderful picture of the passion and purpose with which the 24 elders display their reverence to God. The word also means to prostrate, to do reverence, or to adore. I tell you, friends, the 24 elders know what it means to reverence God and to adore Him. What about you and what about me? Do we know how really to reverence God? Well, the third way in which the 24 elders display their reverence to God is pouring out their hearts in gratitude to Him. They say, "We give you thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, who are and who were. Who are they giving thanks to specifically here? I wanted to know. Well, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 and 8, in chapter 4, verse 8, we have the expression, "Who is and who was and who is to come." But now, in this verse, who is to come is missing. Why? Well, you see, the one who is and who was and who is to come, I mean, who is and who was, is also the one who is to come. And that is the triumphant Christ King. He has not come. And therefore, He has not taken over power over the world from Satan. His unchallenged reign is here pictured as having begun. So the King is not only in town, but He's now on His throne, reigning and ruling triumphantly, supremely over all and for all eternity. For all the undeserved gifts they have received, for all the kindness done to them, for all the favor bestowed upon them, the 24 elders pour out their heart in thanksgiving to God. What undeserved gift have you received from King Jesus today? What favor has King Jesus bestowed upon you today? What kindness has the King done to you today? Do you take them for granted, or do you pour out your heart to God for all the blessings that you receive? Remember the hymn, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Are you doing that? Well, having examined the reverence shown to the triumphant Christ by the 24 elders in verse 16 to 17, now the Bible brings us to the point of elaborating on the rage of the nations. Remember, I told you there will be two responses. First, the reverence. Now we see the rage of the nations. The Bible briefly and brilliantly shines its light on the second response of the rage of the nations. It says, "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. And the time came for the dead to be judged." Well, I think we are approaching time, but just hang with me a minute, because I can't leave the message hanging. Now, the simple point here is that the nations are the unbelieving people, the unrepentant, the unsaved, who have no life in Christ Jesus. They are angered at Christ for taking His rightful place over the kingdom of the world. And the Bible says the time, that is the kairos, the opportune time, the right season, has come for Christ to judge, to be angry at them. They were angry at Him. Now the time has come for Him to be angry at them. Oh yes, God is indeed good and gracious. He is compassionate and caring. He is loving and long-suffering. He is patient and very protective of his people. But make no mistake about this. God is also a jealous God and a God of justice who will execute righteous judgment on the unrepentant, those who have no life in Christ. And so, if you are here today, please do not harden your heart. If you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, please do not harden your heart, because you might find yourself among those to be judged when the King sits on his throne and reigns. Now, what do we take away from this message? Well, I'll just give you a few things. First, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to surrender afresh to the authority of Christ over your life. Because let him really be the boss, the king of your life. Let him rule on the throne of your heart. And let him do that every day of your life. Every day of my life. And show reverence to Christ. One way you can show reverence to Christ is what? Not to take for granted the blessings, the undeserved gifts he's been pouring into your life. And then share the good news with people who do not know him. Because you have a purpose, and God's purpose for you is to be used by you to touch someone with the good news of Jesus Christ. How many of you has God used this week to touch someone with the good news of Jesus Christ? Praise God. And there is more to be done, because many people must be saved before the King comes and reigns. And now, if you are also a believer in Jesus Christ, seek his help in your life today. Whatever need you have in your life, Jesus, the King, is the one who can meet that need in your life and my life. So please don't leave here tonight without seeking Jesus' help for whatever need you have. Maybe for a job, maybe your family is in shambles. You want God to bring reconciliation. Maybe someone in your family is sick. You want Jesus to touch him. Maybe you need housing. Come and ask Jesus. Seek his help, because he's the one who can help you. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you come to me here and I will speak to you to find salvation in Jesus Christ. So, the ball is now in your court. God has spoken to you. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Why? Because he's there to give you all the best help you can get from him. He's not mean. He wants you to experience his mercy, even as I have been experiencing his mercy in my life. So,